Welcome to the Night Echo Podcast, a show bringing you haunting tales from all over the internet and our very own strange reality. Join me, your host, Louise Knight, as we delve into a variety of myths, urban legends, ghost stories, and true crime. Stay tuned. Hello, listeners. Thank you again for joining me and for bearing with me while I took some time away from the podcast. I've been feeling a bit overworked, so I thought it'd be best to postpone this episode instead of half-assing it. I think many of you can understand the importance of taking time for yourself. That and my tarot reading has told me twice in the last month to give myself a break, so there you go. If you don't follow the show on Instagram, I would like to thank you all again for the over 500 downloads and listens I've gotten for the show. Each one means so much to me, and I hope to keep getting better. This episode, I decided it'd be best to move away from the more homicidal cases we've been looking into, as much as I enjoy researching and doing them, to look into one of my favorite mythical beings, the undead, or what we call zombies. If you know me in real life, Resident Evil and Silent Hill happens to be one of my favorite game franchises. Dawn of the Dead, not to mention Shaun of the Dead, happens to be fun highlights of my childhood. This, of course, would later influence my future interests with the introductions of things like World War Z, Z Nation, and Telltale's version of The Walking Dead. I could go on and on. If you're from Vancouver, you've probably heard of the annual Zombie Walk. And yes, of course, I've attended. Hands down, the coolest thing I've done and experienced in the city. It's no surprise that the term undead means more than just a zombie. But before that, what even defines a zombie? Yes, the most well-known of the undead, the zombie. To be fair, I know a lot about the lore of zombies. You know, dead coming back to eat humans, intense cravings for flesh and blood, spreading a virus, all that end of the world goodness. But the origins, not so much. And after doing some digging into the subject, I realized I had been regretfully ignorant on the matter. The origins of the zombie can be traced back to the 17th century in Haiti. This was when slaves were brought in from West Africa to work on sugarcane plantations. Stories of those enslaved on the plantations would recount their experiences as horrible and life-draining, much like being a zombie. As with many things back then, the modern-day zombie is actually a whitewashed lore of Haitian origins. The word zombie was thought to have been derived from Western Africa. For example, the Congo word nzambi, meaning spirit of the dead. If you remember the episode I did on witchcraft, you'll remember that many Haitians forced to be slaves were also forced to leave behind their culture. Colonizers would demonize their practices and force them to convert to Catholicism. Many slaves would end up dying on these plantations. And their solution to this was, why of course, more slaves. This endless cycle of life, or lack thereof, was the basis for the modern-day zombie. Hundreds of years later, once the French were gone, Haiti would form a new religion that was a mix of their own, as well as their previous captors, called voodoo. Some also believed that the undead could become reanimated corpse, with the help of a bokor, a powerful necromancer. It was said that they would create potions with the use of various herbs, fish, bones, and animal parts. A concoction known as zombie powders were often made. These were derived from the poisonous pufferfish toxins. Its effect on humans would cause them to go into a zombie-like state. They would often work with loas, or spirits. Check out the episode I did on witchcraft if you'd like to learn more about Baran Samedi, Loa of the Dead. Due to the nature of the Bokor, many Haitians remain wary of them. The mysticism of voodoo would eventually make its way over to America. It was reported that many Americans thought that it was the norm in Haiti to have cannibalistic rituals and that they would meddle with evil magic. I'd like to note that zombies were actually not seen as evil or demonic by Haitians. Rather, they were seen as pitiful creatures forced to live an undead life as slaves at the will of a necromancer. Eventually, the ties between the zombie and the Haitian slaves would be lost. I myself had no idea that that is where the lore of the zombie came from. I had no idea it had such a sad, racist backstory. But looking into a lot of other cultural lore, it seems that the whitewashing and demonizing of a country's native religion can be seen throughout history. Now this leads us to our modern day zombie, where a movie in 1968 named Night of the Living Dead would come out by filmmaker George A. Romero. He would go on to release the original Dawn of the Dead, and which if you haven't seen, please do. During this time, zombies were starting to become more commercialized. This would lead to classics such as the Resident Evil games, Shaun of the Dead, Scooby-Doo specials, Z Nation, World War Z, and the ever-so-famous Walking Dead TV series. Well, I won't get into too much detail about how to defeat a zombie, as it's pretty common knowledge, you know, give them the old 1-2 decapitate you type of deal. I'm sure many of you can remember when the CDC released an article on what to do should a zombie apocalypse happen. And I'd like to share a few tips with you here. Alright, so the CDC advises that you have at least 1 gallon of water per person per day. Food, making sure you stock up on non-perishable items that you usually eat. Medications, so prescription or non-prescription, you know, painkillers, Advil, that type of deal. Tools and supplies, this could be a utility knife, duct tape, battery powered radio, yada yada yada. Sanitation and hygiene, including household bleach, soap, towels, anything to keep you clean. They advise that you have clothing and bedding, so a change of clothing for each family member, and blankets. Important documents, so copies of your driver's license, passport, birth certificate, and anything else you may have. And most importantly, a first aid kit, first aid supplies rather. And they say here, although you're a goner if a zombie bites you, you can use the supplies to treat basic cuts and lacerations. Thanks, CDC. So yeah, follow these tips and I'm sure you'll be prepared for anything, even the apocalypse. I will link the full article in the show notes, so don't forget to check those out. My next story of the unruly undead I'd like to share is that of Chinese origins, the Jiangshi, or hopping zombie slash vampire. Its name translates to stiff corpse. Stories of the Jiangshi can be found as far back as the Qing Dynasty. Jiangshi are often seen dressed in attire from that period, which included a coat-like robe and round-top tall-rimmed hat. They were known as the hopping zombies due to their posture and how they would move. These zombies would have their arms stretched out permanently, presumably due to the rigor mortis that sets in after death. Mortis, in layman's terms, basically means what happens when a body stiffens up after death. The hopping part of their name is because, well, again, rigor mortis and being unable to walk, and thus they'd hop to get around. It was also said that they would drain the life force, nor qi, of their victims. Some Jiangshi are depicted more as normal-looking, albeit pale as all hell, humans, to the more scary-looking ones with fangs and long nails. Some say this is just a result of how long the person has been dead for. There have actually even been tales of some of them growing stronger and obtaining powers to fly or turn into an animal. So how does one become a Jiangshi? Well, there's a lot, actually. A violent death or suicide was thought to cause the soul to leave one's body, leaving it a soulless corpse. Or if someone were to be buried in an unfamiliar place, resulting in them returning and hop, hop, hopping their way back home. Another way they were thought to be created was necromancy. Similar to the zombies of Haitian voodoo, necromancers were thought to be so powerful they could bring back the dead as a reanimated corpse. In this case, the necromancers were Taoist priests. This was often done as a way for families to bring back the dead bodies of those they have lost far away. This was because renting a vehicle to move a dead body at that time cost way too much. The priests, along with what they were called porters, would herd the undead during nighttime to slow down the decomposition of the bodies. It was seen as bad luck to cross a Jiangshi on your path, so oftentimes the priests would have a bell or gong to warn those around them. Much of the modern-day media scene of the Jiangshi can be found in Hong Kong movies, with some depicting them as comedic relief. Or if my fellow 90s, I guess, slash early 2000 kids can remember the animated show, Jackie Chan Adventures. So now you're wondering, okay, yeah, cool, but what do I do if they tried to steal my life force away from me, aka kill me? Well, a few things I found on the internet gave me this. Probably the most popular one are talismans, which were sealing spells. Vinegar, if apparently you can get it into their mouth. I don't know how that's going to happen. Throwing the blood of a black dog on them, which is apparently like poison. Glutinous rice so they can't bite your ass. They're afraid of mirrors. And you can whack them with a stick from the wood of a peach tree. And the sun. To be honest, I actually don't know too much about Chinese lore, specifically like the scary things. So this was really interesting and cool for me to look into. So I hope we can look into some more in a future episode. Our last but not least tale of this episode is the Draugr from Norse mythology. The undead Draugr are strong, large, daunting beings that like to annoy and kill humans. They're not your typical zombie, as they were seen as knowledgeable, all-knowing creatures with powers to see visions from the past and the future. Originating in Iceland around the 9th century until the end of the Viking Age, many of the stories of the Draugr were taken from encounters from the sagas of the Icelanders. These stories told tales of heroes or heroines overcoming adversity, testing the dynamics of different kinships or families. The term Viking is actually not used for an ethnicity or a group of people or anything. Rather, it was a title for a job. Raiders. A Draugr would arise from their burial mounds, restless and looking for chaos. Many Vikings' ultimate goal was to reach Valhalla, a place where the souls of those who have died heroically goes. It was said that a person could turn into a Draugr if they practiced evil magic, suffered a violent death such as being executed, dying by accident, or being buried outside of a church. These beings were feared even by the mighty Vikings. So much so, they ensured they took all the necessary steps to prevent one from reanimating. A foreboding hint that a Draugr is about to appear is that a sudden mist or darkness appears, sometimes accompanied by the smell of rotting flesh. These undead creatures were said to become more active during the night and more so in the winter. Their favorite thing to do is stomp on rooftops all night long, preventing anybody inside from getting sleep. They are known to not only wreak havoc on humans, but on farm animals as well. And by wreak havoc, I mean kill. The tales of the Draugr can be found in various Icelandic stories from the past. In more modern times, you've probably seen them in the game Skyrim, or as inspiration for the White Walkers on the show Game of Thrones. Well, let's get to how to survive. First off, prevention is key. An article I found says that to prevent the return of the dead, Vikings were buried with scissors placed on their chest, and small pieces of wood were hidden in their garments. The big toes would then be tied together. And to top it all off and ensure that they don't go anywhere, needles were driven through their feet to keep them from moving. So if you actually encounter one and need to kill one, it's actually one of the more straightforward, and many accounts say a similar thing. Decapitate the Draugr, burn the body, bury or scatter the ashes. That's it. Well, actually, in one such case, a Draugr was so powerful, a wall had to be built around their burial mound. This wall was so high that no one could ever climb out of it. As you can see, these creatures were a real concern for these people at the time. Makes you wonder if there is any truth in the lore of the Draugr. That's all I have for you today, folks. I hope you enjoyed. I wanted to mention that I've recently made changes to the show's website, and it flows way better now. I worked kind of hard on it, but please don't forget to check it out if you have the time. It would really mean a lot to me. The link will be in the show notes. There's also even a section for you to submit your own story or suggestion, which is pretty cool. Thanks again. Take care, and until next time. I'd like to thank you for joining me on this episode. If you like what you heard, it would really mean a lot if you could rate, comment, and share. This show is available on Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Have a story or suggestion you'd like to share? Send me an email at night.echopodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at night.echopodcast. Tune in every other Thursday for a new episode of the Night Echo Podcast.